Well, good day, everyone, and welcome to our fifth session on No Fear, He Keeps Me. We're going to begin talking today about the keeping part of this, which is where I've looked forward to get to, and I am excited about some things the Lord has showed us. Let me just say that He's changed some things that I had planned for later on and moved them forward so that we can begin to pray some of these things and declare some of these things over Israel. Now, for your benefit, we're recording this on the Friday before it appears. So if things have happened with Israel that you may have some questions about, think about these scriptures and just remember that these are things that you can declare over. Let's pray as we begin this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that today you're going to reveal yourself as our keeper more and more and more. I thank you that we're going to walk in increased confidence and increased trust, knowing that we're kept through you by your power. And it's in Jesus' name we give thanks for this. Amen. Now, we've been anchored in Mark 4, verses 35 through 41, to begin talking about this, as we talked about fear in particular. And this is where Jesus was asleep in the boat. He'd said, let's go to the other side. And then the wind began to blow. The waves became crazy and was coming over into the boat. Yet Jesus was asleep. And so we've asked the question all along, what did he know that allowed him to have such peace? And we've seen in this study, and I'll go ahead and say it, he knew the Father was with him. He knew the Father was loved him, as we talked about both last week. And he also knew that he was being kept by the power of the Father. Now, Jesus was upset that they became so fearful. And he expressed that to them, and he expects the same for us. Now, I want to be quick through my review with this today because I want to have plenty of time to cover the material that he's asked me to today. We spent time talking about Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter who was near death. And we saw how Jairus had faith. He had a faith confession. Come lay your hands on her and she will be well. And he confessed that over her and Jesus went. It moved him to action. And then when he heard, he being Jairus, that don't trouble Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. Jesus jumped right in there. He didn't even wait for Jairus to respond. And he said, do not fear. And basically he said, stay with what you told me. Keep that profession of faith alive in you. And it did what? It produced. Fear will cause us to cast away our confidence. But when we speak the word that the Lord has given us, that rhema that we have, that revelation word about him, then it will come alive and keep us from casting away our confidence. We saw the encouragement he gave Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Don't let my word or the law depart from your mouth. So that's a good indication for us. He told him to meditate it, to mutter it. And then he says, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Notice how he didn't say, I'm going to give you success. I'm going to make your way. But when you have my word in your mouth and are keeping it, then you will have success and you will prosper. He also told him that what? That I'm going to be with you wherever you go. So there's that promise of the Lord being with us at all times and keeping us through his power. Now, we looked at Isaiah 41:10 because some of us may not be able to fully identify with Joshua in that leadership role he was in. But this one we confess over ourselves a lot. But basically he ends up by saying, after he says, fear not, don't be dismayed, I'm going to strengthen you, and all the while declaring who he is for us, he says at the end, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Well, that's Jesus, the Word, who is love to you and I, who abides in us. So that same keeping power is available in you and I through the Word, through Jesus, through the love, as it was with Joshua. Jesus is the Word, and he is love, and that will perform in us. We then saw in 1 John 4, verses 15 through 18, where it talks about we have come to know and believe. So we've got to have that intimate knowing. We've got to see love himself as being a part of us. And we've got to have faith and confidence. We've got to believe it. And when we do that, because we're joined with Him, we're inseparable, then because of that love, the next verse tells us that we can have confidence. We can be today as Jesus is now. As Jesus is with the Father today, so we can be and have that heaven on earth here today. And verse 18 then was the key one. There is no fear in love. So that place where you and I abide, that place of love where we abide, no fear is there. It is a fear-free zone where we abide in His love. And it also says that the reason it can be that way is because perfect love does what to fear? It casts it out. It gets rid of it. And we saw how it, fear involves punishment, but that punishment is the same that word that's used about people and their torment in hell. And so we don't have to have hell on earth, but we can have heaven on earth, as we saw in another verse. And we really wrap this up talking from the book of John, where Jesus said, love Himself is always with me. In other words, the Father is always with me. You may leave me, but love Himself there. And what does that love do? It casts out fear. So let's begin to focus today on He keeps me. Now, I want to look at three verses that the Lord gave me. Now, let me say again, a lot of these verses, I believe, we can begin to confess and declare over Israel as we are being, and I'm going to use the term watchman, what to pray as we see what the Lord has us to pray. Many of these words we can use as very valuable declaration over the things that's going on today with Israel. Psalm 91, just the 11th verse today. Maybe later we'll go through it all. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Does that sound like the angel is taking responsibility for the people, for you and I today, but also for the children of Israel, for His people, Israel? The New American Standard says that He'll give His angels charge concerning you to guard you. So we keep see this concept of keeping and guarding being one and the same. Isaiah prophesied in verses 1 and 2. And this is New American Standard of chapter 41, verses 1 and 2 of 41. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. Certainly, that is a declaration we can declare. Verse 2 then continues, the Lord will protect him. Same word that we're going to see is used for guard or to keep. And then it says it'll keep him alive. Now that word, those four words are actually, or three words, keep him alive is actually one Hebrew word, which means to live or to keep. Now the word protect there is all, can also be translated to preserve. And then it says about these people that he shall be called blessed upon the earth, and he won't give him over to the desire of what? Of his enemies. So a second one. And then I took one in from the New Testament in 1 Peter 5. We'll actually go through this a little later. And that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And I'm just going to read this phrase in it for time's sake. The New King James, talking about you and I, said that we who are kept by the power of God through faith. Now that through faith is important, saints. This verse cannot be operable without that through faith there. But we have a promise that we're to be kept. New American Standard says we'll be protected. Now, from our study of life in the spirit of power, then we need to understand all the power and remember all the power that is available, all of His grace, which is all the ability of God. And the word that means power means to make possible or to be able. So all of His power is there doing what? Keeping us as well. And this concept of keeping is over and over and over in the Scriptures. And we're going to begin to look at a number of them today, but we'll look at many more in the coming weeks. Now what I want to do today, because we head back to Genesis, the second chapter, I want to look at the first two instances where this word, this Hebrew word, which is shamar, or shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, I want to look at the first two references it's used, because I believe in something called the law of first reference. I believe the first reference or two really sets a foundation for how this word will be used throughout Scripture, and it gives us a basis point to build upon. So the first one, Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord took the man, and he put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate or to dress, one translation says, to cultivate it or to dress it, and keep it. That's the word shamar. Now the word keep there, let's look at the Hebrew meanings of it so we understand exactly what the Lord is saying here. It literally means to hedge about with thorns. Now it's really interesting to me that it's first used and has a meaning of thorns, and there were no thorns in the garden or on the earth because the earth was fully blessed. There was no curse in it. So it's to hedge about with thorns. And yes, there are other scriptures that we can correlate with this one. It literally is speaking about to guard something, to keep something, to have charge or be responsible for something, to keep watch and ward. Now, watch means what? It implies that he's seeing us and seeing his people and what is going on. So he's got his eye upon him. Again, just as we studied in Psalm 32, verse 8, where it says he will counsel you and I with his what? Eye upon us. He's watching over us. The word ward there literally means to oversee or to guard. So he's watching us so that he can oversee and guard us. It can also mean to protect and to save life. Now, I think it's noteworthy for us to remember two names that the Lord disclosed about himself. He's called El Roy, and I may not pronounce that right, but R-O-I. And that means the God who sees me. He's also given the name for himself of Jehovah Ra'ah, R-A-A-H, which literally means the Lord is my shepherd. So what does the shepherd do? He watches over his sheep to keep them, to protect them, to nourish them, to provide everything they need. This is who our Lord is. This is who your keeper is. Now, Adam was originally given the authority to keep the garden. And I believe that garden would have continued to expand well beyond its first limits throughout the earth if sin had not come. But when he had it, there was no sin. And that's why the scripture tells us in Psalm 115, verse 16, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. In other words, he told Adam, you have dominion over the earth. And now we're back in that same role because of what Jesus did. But after this, Eve was tempted, Adam just outright sinned and disobeyed, and man was removed from the garden. And that leads us to the second place that the word keep or kept, shamar, is used. Genesis 3rd chapter, 24th verse. After the sin had occurred, it says, so he drove the man out. And I will just add now, for man's benefit, because had he partaken of the other tree, the tree of life there, then we would have been in a sinful state forever. No hope. So he drove the man out, and at the east point of the garden, he stationed the cherubim. So here's the first time that an angel appears, and the flaming sword which turned in every direction. And he put him there, why? To guard, shamar, the way to the tree of life. In other words, he was protecting man through this angel, keeping that way safe from man, keeping man away from it. But what happened in the earth? The devil now had been given the authority in this earth, and the earth was cursed. And both of those are important. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us this. It says, in whose case the God of this world, talking about the devil, he blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. So unless light had come, unless Jesus had come, darkness, the devil, would still have authority in this earth, and we wouldn't have a chance. But now, In our redemption, this authority has been restored to us. I'm rose up in my heart, so I'm going to say it. The authority that the name of Jesus brings to us. But we also need to remember the earth remains cursed. So I want to go all the way back now and speak about the covenant as the Lord covenanted himself to Abraham. And what do we know? When the Lord covenanted himself to do something, he must perform it. He is obligated to, as I said to you last week. So look at Genesis 17, verses 7 through 9. 17, 7 through 9. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings. And he's speaking to Abraham now. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. Now, thanks. There's a great verse for us to declare over Israel today. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep Shamar, my covenant, and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. So here, the keeping part is on man's part, because the children of Israel, from Abraham through to the time of Jesus, had to do what? They had to keep the law perfectly, or else it was nullified. The whole part of it was nullified. So to guard, to keep it. Now think about these words. But it's man doing this. It's man placing such importance on the word of the covenant that he doesn't want to take it from before his eyes, that he doesn't want to take it out of his mouth. In other words, he's looking at it. He's keeping watch over it. He's guarding it. He's protecting it. He's preserving it as he speaks it. And that's just what we saw last week in Joshua 1:8. And then we get to begin to see God keeping his people with Genesis 28:13-15. Now, this is concerning Jacob. And again, I want you to think in terms of covenant promise being obligated and the words of the covenant. And behold, the Lord stood above, and he's talking about this place where he was, and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your descendants. So there's another verse that affirms what we just read in Genesis 17. Verse 14. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, in other words, numerous, and you shall spread out to the west and the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and in your descendants all the families of the earth will be blessed. And behold, so let's pick this up in 15. I am with you. There's the promise we saw last week. And I will keep you, Shamar, wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, he was talking about bringing him back to this land in his day right there. But this has an application for us today. So keep is that same word that we've been seeing over and over. In the 23rd chapter of Exodus concerning the children of Israel after their deliverance from Egypt. New King James. And think about Psalm 91. We saw about giving an angel charge over you. He says to him, behold, I'm going to send an angel before you to guard. King James says to keep. To guard, to keep you along the way and bring you into the place which I have prepared. Now, the first time he put the angel in the garden, he kept him from going in the way of the tree. Now he's sending him to take them in the way he should go. And then he says, be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him. For he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is with him. Now, that part about be on your guard is also that same word. So it's talking about we have to be careful to guard, just as we were talking about earlier. Then verse 22 says, if you will truly obey His voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. In other words, He's going to perform those words over the children of Israel. And I would submit to you, as you'll see in a moment, over that land that we've already been talking about. And then number 6, and this is one I had definitely moved up much earlier than I had thought I would, but what we would term the Aaronic blessing, Aaron, who was the high priest. And just let me remind you, you've been made kings and priests of our high priest Jesus. Starting in number 6, the 20th verse, it says, the Lord spoke, the 22nd verse through the 27th. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 23, speak to Aaron and to his sons, and thus say, thus you shall bless the lords of Israel, sons of Israel, as you say this to them. So he's telling Aaron to speak these words as a blessing. And I'm saying to you, I believe, in fact, this is a verse the Lord has me declaring over Israel daily now, multiple times. Verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you, guard, protect, preserve, watch over you in order to see and to protect. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And then he had this statement at the end of it. Thus, or so in doing so, they shall invoke my name, or put my name, King James says, on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Now, pause a minute and think about what he's saying here. In a covenant ritual, you exchange things, including names. Now, we didn't have anything to exchange. He took our filth for His robe of righteousness. And we got the good end of all this deal, including what? Having His name put upon us. Don't forget that, because that ought to ring some bells with what we've been talking about the past weeks in John chapter 17, which I'm about to read. John 17, 11 through 12, Jesus talking about. And so we're going to review some verses we've looked at. It's okay. You're seeing some different things in them, I believe, today. Jesus said, and I am no more in the world. He knew he was going. And yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. And this is what he's saying. Keep them in thy name. Oh, my goodness. In other words, your name has been put upon them. So it's your obligation from the covenant to do what? To keep them. The name which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And then he said in verse 12, while I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, just think about this a second. While I was with them, I was keeping them, how? In thy name, which you've given me. Now, Philippians 2, about verse 7, says that he's been given the name above all names. And who else has been given that name? We have. Go in my name. Now, what is that literally saying? Go in my authority. Have dominion over this earth. In my name. And so see how we can begin to declare these words that we've been talking about today with authority over Israel, because these are the covenant words. Now the word keep here is the word tereo, T-E-R-E-O, and it literally means, let me say, it comes from a word which literally means to watch. So here's this concept of watching again. Tereo itself means to guard, by keeping an eye upon, to guard by keeping and I upon. So do you see the similarities of this Greek word with the Hebrew word? It's just, this is powerful. Keep them in thy name, which I have given. And we've also been given that name, which we can use to pray over to people to do what? To keep them as well. And again, we're not talking about you and I having to perform everything that the covenant that required in the old covenant. Now, if the Hebrew children don't know Jesus, then obviously they're still bound, more ways than one, by that old covenant. So what name have we been given? The name of Jesus. And we should see and watch over and speak those words that we see, that keeping name of Jesus over the darkness that is oppressing them today. That leads us back to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and we're going to read verse 5, but I want to start with verse 3. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the Father, be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be what? Born again, our new and better covenant, through a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, light who came into this world and overcame the darkness, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, so that we don't have to have that fear of death, as we've talked about. And in that, we obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away and is reserved throughout eternity," that's my words, throughout eternity, "in heaven for us." Then it says, that talking about who we are, that we are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation to be revealed in the last time. Now, the New King James, where New American Standard says who are protected, as we saw earlier, it says who are kept. The word for protect or to be kept here is a different word, but it literally means a watcher in advance of. It means to mount guard as a sentinel would. Now, what does a sentinel do? He watches out over, he looks about to keep or to protect. We too have a covenant in this blood, and because he, Jesus, kept the covenant with God, all we have to do is believe. The through faith part that we've talked about. And that takes us in, and we'll wrap up with this verse, to 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. And I'm going to read this to you in three translations as we did weeks ago. New King James, "For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." So no shame in our new covenant. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep," tereo that we saw earlier, tereo, "that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So he's watching over us. The New American Standard says, "I know whom I have believed and that he is able to guard." So we see the same principles of Shamar again. Guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. And then the Bible in Basic English says, "I am certain that he's able to keep that which I've given into his care till that day." So the gnome who I believe, we talked about needing a personal relationship. Literally, the gnome there is Eido, E-I-D-O, and it means literally to see. So we have become a watcher of Jesus. We keep him in front of our eyes. And it can also imply to know, to have facts of, to have experience, to have high regard for, or to cherish. And it leads to confidence and absolute trust. But the point I want to finish on today and really tease us up for the coming weeks is the second part of this verse, that which he is able to keep. Now, again, we would all say, yeah, I know he's able. I just don't know if he'll do it for me. Well, now we do know it. It's part of our covenant. Or what the New American Standard says, what I have entrusted to him. The King James said, that which I have committed unto him. Bible in basic English, that which I have given into his care. So it's this concept of what? Of believing that we don't have to perform in this area. We can hand it over to him, and he will watch over us, to protect us, to see us through, to give life all the meanings that we've seen thus far. Now again, it raises the question, what if I hold on to those, and let me just call them cares, that can lead to fears, and I don't entrust him to it? Does it take his hand away? As a believer, what am I holding on to? So we're moving a little bit here now from talking about things we can declare over Israel to one of the things that I do see here, though, with this prayer is that we need to pray that the true peace that we have to pray for Jerusalem is a peace between Jesus and the people. That's the only way for the Arabs, and that's really the only way for the Jews to ever get to a point where they are fully kept, and they're kept then in our new or better covenant. So for a believer, I just want to leave you with this today. What areas am I holding back on? We're going to do some looking next week at some verses that may raise a thought to where you might be tempted to say, well, God, why did you let that happen? Or God, why did that happen? But I'm going to tell you, a better question is going to be, have I done something that is limiting God to keep me? There is nothing that the devil can do when we give everything to him, every area of our life. So I look forward to delving into next week's scriptures with you and seeing more about this keeping power and how we enable it to work on our behalf, just like he did for the children of Israel in days gone by, and just like I believe he wants to do for the children of Israel and you and I today. Bless you, and we'll see you next week.